The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 24, verses 10 through 23. It's on page 230 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city, and they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call the sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets, and I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple. During this, there was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me, or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin, unless it was this one thing I shout as I stood in their presence. It is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, "I will decide your case." He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Amen. Tertullus, the lawyer hired by the group of the high priest, had to induce a death sentence for Paul in the court of the governor in accordance with the request from his client. He wielded the sharp words, armed with the rhetoric, and accused Paul as if he broke the law of the Roman Empire and incited protests, riots, and even armed rebellions wherever he went as a political criminal. Today's scripture is his self-defense about the accusation. In the verse 10, when the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, "I know that for a number of years you have been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense." After the defense of Tertullus, Governor Felix, with saying nothing, moved his chin up to have Paul to rebut. Arrogant Felix would have liked to show his authority as best as he could. The lawyer Tertullus flattered the governor as the great governor who brought about peace to the people. But Paul began his defense by saying, "I know that for a number of years you've been a judge over this nation." Governor Felix was known that he gave a partial verdict based on the bribes he had received. Paul, to such Felix, says so, hoping the governor would judge in a righteous way as he was. In verse 11, "You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship." The day when Paul stood in the court of Governor Felix was 12 days after he went off to Jerusalem, completing his third mission trip. Arriving at Jerusalem, Paul met James, an early church leader, and starting from the next day, purified himself for 7 days. On that day, the Jews were trying to beat him to death, and the commander had no idea about the circumstances and had Paul put in the prison of the barracks of the Roman army. Knowing that Paul was a Roman citizen, the commander had Paul to stand in the Sanhedrin on the 8th day, and on the 9th day, informed that Jews were conspiring to kill Paul. The commander took Paul to Felix, the governor of Caesarea, that night. On the 10th day, Paul reached Caesarea and was confined in the palace of Herod. On the 13th day, 5 days after leaving Jerusalem, he stood in the court of the governor. As such, Paul emphasized that it was only 12 days past after his arrival at Jerusalem for a reason. It was to appeal that he couldn't ever plot a riot or rebellion to threaten peace in the Roman Empire in such a short and hectic time of 12 days. In the verses 12 and 13, "My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me." Out of the group of the high priests who accused Paul, none of them saw Paul arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city, because Paul never did so, not once. Therefore, the accusers couldn't present any evidence. It was rather those accusers who incited people to falsely accuse Paul and beat him to death. The Jews who were in league with the group of the high priest. In verses 14 through 16, "However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man." One thing that Paul did was to follow the word of God, and thus to abide by the law of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross by the Jews. Jesus, who died as the sacrifice of the cross to pay for the sins of man, was the Lord of resurrection, who lived again from death on the third day. Such Lord said, "And come out, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned." Death wasn't the end to Paul, who believed in the Lord of resurrection. Death of those who believe and follow the Lord was the beginning of the entire eternal life, and the everlasting judgment for those who turn against Jesus. This is why Paul tried to live consciously, conscientiously before God and man all the time. Verses 17 and 18. After an absence of several years, I came to Jerusalem to bring my people gifts for the poor and to present offerings. I was ceremonially clean when they found me in the temple courts doing this. There was no crowd with me, nor was I involved in any disturbance. One of the reasons that Paul went off to Jerusalem after finishing the third mission trip was to deliver offerings of the Macedonian Greek to the people of Jerusalem who suffered famine. And the people saw that Paul had purified himself in a temple of Jerusalem for 7 days based on the recommendation from James. Nevertheless, the Jews of Jerusalem strive to kill Paul because of the Jews from the province of Asia, that is, the Jews from Ephesus. During the third mission trip, Paul tried to spread the gospel for 3 years. As we all know, Ephesus was a place where the temple of goddess Artemis, the ancient mystery, overwhelmed men. In Ephesus, which was bustling with people coming from far and near to worship the temple of Artemis, a lot of citizens used and made money with the goddess Artemis. Paul preached there that man-made gods are no gods at all. No matter how splendid the idol of Artemis was, it was nothing more than a lump of iron or a rock if made by man. Evidently, people of Ephesus did not just sit and watch because they made their living with the goddess Artemis and her temple. They formed a group to kill Paul. The Jews of Ephesus, who considered Paul as a traitor, joined the group to kill Paul. There were some Jews who visited Jerusalem for Pentecost. How they slander and stir up the Jews of Jerusalem is testified in Acts chapter 12, verse 27 through 30. When the 7 days were nearly over, some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul at the temple. They stirred up the whole crowd and seized him, shouting, "Fellow Israelites, help us. This is the man who teaches everyone everywhere against our people and our law and this place. And besides, he has brought Greeks to the temple and defiled this holy place." They had previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, in the city with Paul and assumed that Paul had brought him into the temple. The whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple and immediately the gates were shut. The Ephesian Jews saw Paul, who just finished purification there at the temple. They caught Paul without question and urged the Jews at the temple. Paul had wrongly taught people against the Jewish law and temple and defiled the holy temple as that of the Gentile, according to them. The Jews, who consider the Jerusalem temple the same as God, became upset and furious. They called Paul outside the temple to kill Paul. That disturbance was so serious, and all the gates to the temple were shut by the Levites as soon as Paul was dragged. It was to prevent something unfortunate to happen. However, Paul never brought the Gentile to the temple. Paul met an Ephesian Gentile, Trophimus, who received gospel from him on a road of Jerusalem by accident. Witnessing that, Ephesian Jews hastily concluded that Paul might have brought Trophimus to the Jerusalem temple and incited Jews of Jerusalem. But it was clearly wrong. So the self-defense of Paul ends like this. In verses 19 through 21, "But there are some Jews from the province of Asia who ought to be here before you and bring charges if they have anything against me. Or these who are here should state what crime they found in me when I stood before the Sanhedrin. Unless it was this one thing I shouted as I stood in their presence, it is concerning the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you today." If the Ephesian Jews truly saw that Paul took the Gentile Trophimus to the temple, they would naturally and directly have stood in the court of the governor as witnesses and accused Paul. But they didn't even appear in the court. The group of the high priest who are in the court right now is those who questioned Paul in the Sanhedrin several days ago. If they could successfully confirm that Paul broke the Roman law, they would have accused Paul in the court of the governor. However, the group of the high priest only hired Tertullus as the lawyer for them and couldn't even defend themselves before Paul, who was making his defense. The only reason that the Sanhedrin attempted to examine Paul was that Paul had testified Jesus was the Christ who was killed by the Jews and resurrected from death. The attempt of the group of high priests who tried to induce death sentence for Paul using harsh defense of the orator Tertullus was found to be failed in front of the self-defense of Paul, which revealed the truth. For Paul, it was the third time to defend himself after he went up to Jerusalem. When the Jews of Jerusalem attempted to kill Paul, incited by the Ephesian Jews, the commander saw it and misunderstood that Paul was an Egyptian who was wanted and had his staff to bind him with two iron chains and take him to the barracks of Roman army. At the time, Paul made his self-defense under the permission of the commander before the Jews who tried to kill him on the stairway to the Roman barracks. Paul began to speak how he, originally a Jew, became Christian and why he became a disciple for the Gentile. The testimony, however, was stopped by the Jews shouting and trying to kill Paul. That meant that Paul lost the chance to correct the false accusation about him. The second self-defense of Paul was at the Sanhedrin next day. As soon as he began to speak that he had followed God in every way based on his faith and conscience, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near Paul to strike him on the mouth. To strike a Jew on the mouth was the worst insult to a person. By striking Paul on the mouth, the high priest Ananias trampled the personality of Paul, who had followed God based on his faith and conscience. It was a proclamation that the word of such person is not worthy of listening. When Paul disclosed that he was examined because he testified the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sadducees and Pharisees who denied the resurrection of Jesus fought each other based on their own reasoning. And the governor had to order his staff to secure Paul, a Roman citizen. Paul couldn't have a chance to correct the false accusation in the Sanhedrin as well. Paul finally was able to reveal everything, who, why, and how he was accused through his self-defense officially done in court of the governor. The truth was disclosed. In front of the truth, the accusers, including the high priest and the hired lawyer, Tertullus, had nothing but to keep silent. Then Governor Felix had to declare innocent for Paul, a Roman citizen, and set him free. But he didn't. In verses 22 and 23, then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, I will decide your case. He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Since the preacher Philip had already settled down in Caesarea and spread the gospel there, there were Christians who had accepted Jesus as their Christ. According to the verse 24, Felix's wife, Drusilla, was Jewish. So Governor Felix already had some information about Christianity. He knew that high priests and his group had accused Paul because of differences in faith, not because Paul had violated the positive law of the Roman Empire. Governor Felix, however, did not announce a verdict of Paul's innocence at the spot. Instead, Governor Felix announced that he would make a decision about Paul when Lysias, the commander, comes, and he ordered the centurion to give some liberties to Paul while still keeping him in Herod's palace. But Commander Lysias had already argued for Paul's innocence in the letter to Governor Felix delivered by the soldiers who brought Paul to Caesarea. Since then, Commander Lysias had not visited Caesarea for Paul's case. Nevertheless, Governor Felix used Commander Lysias as an excuse to delay the verdict on Paul's case for two reasons. First, by not announcing Paul's innocence right away, Felix would not face resistance from the high priest who had bribed him for a long time. Second, as I have told you last time and will explain again next week, Governor Felix mistakenly thought Paul was rich and wanted to receive bribes from Paul. Unlike Governor Felix's expectation, Paul did not bribe Governor Felix, so he kept Paul in Herod's palace for 2 years. Paul revealed the truth in the governor's court. Paul's self-defense, written in the scripture, was perfect and complete to the extent that the lawyer Tertullus, who was hired by the priest and the group to accuse Paul, could not even attempt to refute him. However, the truth told by Paul was not accepted. Governor Felix knew that Paul's self-defense was true, but intentionally ignored it. The group of high priests accused Paul again when a new governor, Festus, was appointed after 2 years. The truth Paul revealed at the court of Governor Felix was blocked by the Governor Felix and the high priest and its group, and the truth was not proclaimed even a little bit and rather buried in the palace of Herod. From Paul's perspective, the whole situation left him at a loss for words. However, Paul did not consider it unfair, or he didn't lose hope, because he knew God knew the truth. As long as God knows the truth, it's okay if no one else in this world knows about it. He believed that God will pronounce the truth about him at God's time and God's way. As Paul believed, God of mighty hands had Luke write the truth about Paul in God's words, the book of Acts. And for 2 millennia, God allowed the truth about Paul to be revealed to all humanity beyond time and space. Not only that, God used Paul, who didn't lose hope or stay frustrated even when people intentionally ignore his truth, and instead stayed on the path of righteousness in God's arms to remake the history of humanity. This is the message from God to us in today's scripture. Joseph, who was sold to Egypt as a slave because his brother's enmity, started working as a slave at the house of Potiphar, the captain of Pharaoh's guard. Even though he was loyal to Potiphar, Joseph was imprisoned because Potiphar's wife's conspiracy. In the prison, Joseph interpreted the dream of the chief cupbearer of Pharaoh in charge of the alcohol. It was a good sign that the cupbearer would recover the previous position in 3 days. Joseph explained his unfair situation and asked to clear his name to Pharaoh after the cupbearer restarts his position. The official did get his job back as Joseph's interpretation after 3 days, but he was so happy and forgot Joseph's request. Joseph's efforts to clear his name seemed to be unrecognized and buried in the prison forever. But Joseph did not despair, because he also knew that God knows his truth. And after 2 years, after it was God's time, God took Joseph out of the prison with his mighty hands, which are never too short, and rescued the people of Egypt and Palestine from the deadly drought. In the current world of sinful nature, truth is not always pronounced, even if it is told. Truth about ourselves is often ignored or buried when we live our daily lives. When we shout out the truth with big signs or go on a hunger strike to proclaim the truth, our truth may not advance even one step because of a human barricade. Financial shortages, or sometimes authoritative obstacles. However, let's not dwell about the unfairness or lose hope. Even if nobody on earth knows the truth about me, even if people intentionally ignore or distort the truth of me, God knows about it. When the timing of our God with mighty hands is ripe, He will pronounce your truth in His way to all people and use your life as a channel to continue reflecting His providence beyond time and space. Therefore, even if no one is watching or others misunderstood us or falsely accuse us, we can stay on the path of righteousness with courage in Christ. Do not forget, our victory is gained not in front of man, but only in front of God. Let us pray. David praised God, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. As such, David believed that God knew everything about him, and courageously kept pursuing the righteous way, however Saul distorted and abused the truth of him. So that now he became the star of the flag of Israel 3,000 years later, beyond time and space. We are grateful that God of David, God of Paul, and God of Joseph is our God. Even if the truth that I cried out is blocked by all the herders and buried underground, I will not be disappointed or fall in despair. I will depend on God who knows my truth so well and go on the righteous way with courage. Step by step, may the providence of God, whose arm is never too short, be accomplished beyond time and space. North Korea again conducted the nuclear test for the fifth time. May God, who knows about the circumstances surrounding the Korean Peninsula better than any others, keep it to be remained peaceful and stable. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.